Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I want to entitle the sermon today, Pray Always. And I believe the Lord wants us to pray, not just in the month of January, but I talked to a man one time, a young man. He wasn't in the ministry yet, but he was claimed to be a preacher. And he said, I get all my sermons at the first of the year. I said, I don't have to study all year long. You know, I said, do you do all your praying at the first of the year? No. Anyway, that's another story. I won't tell all of it. But God wants us to always pray. There's a scripture that says, pray without ceasing. It just means don't ever quit praying. Let prayer be just a natural reaction to calling upon God, amen, throughout your day. Amen. Let's notice the scriptures together. Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Some translation says, lest she wear me out. Verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night unto him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for your presence that's here. Oh, Savior, we're blessed that you would fill this place with your presence. I thank you, Savior, that you're present, not absent, but present. Be Lord of the service, be Lord of the sermon, the words of God today. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint your servant to speak your word, anoint, Lord, touch the hearts of your people that they may be instructed in righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The scripture, Jesus spoke a parable saying that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or not to give up. And not to faint, says in the old King James, and not to grow weary, or don't give over. And the parable is designed to teach us that we should persevere and not grow weary in our supplication to God. And prayer many times is viewed as a last resort, when it should really be the first thing we do. Man. And so I may have to go to the hospital in a hurry, but I'm going to pray on my way there. Praise God. And so it should be the first thing we do, and we often hear the expression, well, all we can do is pray. I want to tell you, friend, the greatest thing you can do is pray. If God can't handle it, it can't be handled. But he can handle it, whatever it is. And we hear that term, well, I'll pray about it. Will you really? Or I'll be praying for you. Amen. The greatest thing we can do is pray. And I've got to where some of you know this, that ask me to pray about a certain thing, and I'll say, well, let's pray right now. Praise God. It doesn't hurt anything. Well, what if somebody else sees us? What if somebody else sees us? They'll know we're praying. Amen. I've prayed with people in Walmart before. It's okay. God hears there too. Amen. Some places you need to be prayed more. Anyway, we'll move on. But let's pray about it right now. Jesus spoke this parable on prayer after speaking to them of end time events, things that would happen and how the world would change and how that the end time would happen. If in the previous chapter he speaks of that. And so we are expecting the return of the Lord in one day, and he will return. Amen. But yet, how much more in the day that we live in, when we see the end is upon us, how much more we should be people that are in tune with God in our prayer life. During World War II, when bombing was so intense in London, a sign appeared in front of a church that read, if your knees knock together, kneel on them. That's good, man. But here Jesus interprets interpreted the parable that he gave, pointing out that if the unjust judge would give justice, then imagine how God, the just judge, will see that justice is given. And if you taking notes today, I'll just want to use, you know, prayer. Pray is an acronym. All four letters will stand for one point of what we're dealing with today. And for the P in prayer, we'll use the word petition God. Amen. And so God encourages us to ask him, tell him our needs, and to petition him as to what we need and what we want. And Jesus here told the parable of the unjust judge to teach persistence. He did it to teach persistence in prayer. And that they, his disciples, should always pray and not give up. And a widow continued to go before an unjust judge to plead for justice in her case because she had an adversary. And let's look at the parable here for just a moment. Let's look at the unjust judge for a moment. And the judge here that was being talked about, he had no fear of God in his life. He didn't care much about anybody else. And there's been a few people like that in modern time as well. He says, he did not fear God nor regard man. In other words, he didn't have an interest in much of anybody except himself. He was a selfish judge. And so this woman comes to the judge and said, I need help. Can you help me? And I can imagine him pushing her aside and say, oh, well, you know, people like you come every day, and so just go on your way. But the unjust judge, he had no fear of God. Like many today, he was self-centered. His only interest was in helping him. I don't know if he intended one day to advance to the Supreme Court. I hope not. But anyway, he had something in himself that he wanted to fulfill, and he was really not interested in a woman that could, a widow woman that couldn't help herself. Nobody else could help much. But you see, the sad thing is, the just unjust judge here, he had no place for God in his life. He didn't fear God. He had no interest in this helpless widow. He had no regard or no place in anything except he was interested in himself. And friend, if this were a true story, and it is a parable, not a true story, but to just illustrate a truth, there will be a place, if he was true, we find that the unjust judge, there would be no place for him in eternity with God. There's a sad verse in the book of Revelation where it says there was no place found for them, talking about the final judgment. My friend, God has a place for you and I in his eternity. Thank God for that. So when you pray, yes, petition God, ask God. And, you know, we had a bad habit here, even Christians, even in the church world, we want to tell God how underpaid and overworked we are, and we want him to do something now. But I'm glad that God has more sense than you and I do. And he does. If that offends you, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. God does have more than all of us put together. But he has a place in our life. He was a judge here, but this man was. But he was required by law to listen to people's requests and needs. And my friend, let me ask the question today. Are we really interested in people, or are we interested in their souls? Are we interested in people where they're going to spend forever? I hope we as a church are interested in that. Praise God, because every person we see every day, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And if they receive the gospel of Christ, ask God for forgiveness, and believe what Jesus did on the cross was for them, they can be saved, born again of God's Spirit, and on their way to heaven instead of on their way to hell. So we need to be interested in people. Praise God, Jesus died for all of them. Interested in souls, interested in where they spend eternity, because God's interested. Praise the Lord. And yet we see here this persistent widow, she required or asked for, requested his help. Verse 3, it says, that widow, she came and says, get justice for me and my adversary. She had an adversary. Something was going wrong. We're not exactly sure what it was. It's not stated here, and this is a parable. But she was persistent and requested his help. And he wanted her to just give up or just go away. Amen. Smile if you've been around a person you kind of just wish would just go away. Some of you are smiling. I am too. But yet he said, you know, I have plenty to deal with. I'm a judge. I'm an important position in this city, and I hold an important place. I've got an important job, and I don't have time to mess with people that are just here and just really don't matter, people that don't matter in society. Have any widows here? If you're a widow, raise your hand. You matter to God. You matter to God. Everyone does the same. Praise God. All right. And so, but her persistence required his attention. I can imagine him showing up the next day, and here's this widow sitting right there at his door, at the front door of his office, waiting for it to be open. She's saying, I need your help. I've got an adversary. Somebody's trying to take advantage of a poor widow. I need your help, Judge. And let's just pretend that day after day she did this, and she was persistent because she needed his attention. Let me tell you something. God has no obligation to listen to you and I or do anything for mankind, yet because of his divine nature, he does listen, he does care, and he does love you. And by choice, he condescended to humanity. He came down to where we are. As a matter of fact, he became flesh. He lived where we are in humanity. Praise the Lord. He loves you. He is not under any obligation to. He created the worlds and the universes and everything that's beyond and things we know nothing about. But yet, he has no obligation to you and I. But still, he chose to care for me and you. He chose to care for this world. He chose to lay down his own life that there might be a way to salvation, that there might be reconciliation between God and man, that mankind might leave this world with a settled account when it comes to sin. Hallelujah. And so, yet God loves us despite everything that's against us. And we must recognize God as creator, one with full authority over life, death, universe, big things, powerful things, and yet God is interested in small things. Amen. You know, people's prayer requests, sometimes you want to say, you know, why do you want to bother God with that? If you've got an itch, scratch it. Don't pray about it. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes. If we look at the book of Job, and Job is a book that you can become discouraged in reading after a while if you don't read all of it. Job was down on life because Job, let's remember, Job had no Bible. He didn't have any scriptures to flip through and see what God was saying. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. He was just Job. He was a godly man. Feared God, gave all that he had, or gave a lot to the Lord, sacrificed for his kids all the time. And so he did know the idea of sacrifice. But there came a time when Job would just question God. God, I need you to talk to me, but how can I talk to you? How can I get to you? How can I reach you? There's no mediator between you and I. Of course, that was fulfilled in the New Testament when Christ became the one mediator between God and man. And we can talk to God. We can hear him. And he can hear us. Praise the Lord. And so finally, after Job's trial, most scholars believe that his trial lasted about a year. And it took 42 chapters to say that. But yet, there came a time when, in the 38th chapter of Job, when God would begin to respond to Job. Job had suffering. He was afflicted physically. And lost all of his children. He lost 10 kids in one day. And his wife told him to curse God and die. And she was discouraged, depressed, no doubt, when she'd buried 10 children. I can feel for her just a little bit. And so it came to the fact, and God said, finally said, God, I'm going to answer you. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? And then God tells Job, said, prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Wow. And so God is concerned about small things, big things, little things. But let me tell you, let's look at who we're talking to here. And God says to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Who laid its cornerstone? when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. He's saying, Job, yes, you've been through it, and yeah, you've been through a trial, but do you realize who you're talking to? God was talking to him. Amen. And at the end, we find that Job said, I repent because I didn't have the knowledge, and I was foolish. And God restored him, and even God healed his three friends, which if you could call them friends, and God restored Job and gave him twice as much as he had to start with. You see, God listened and God responded. Job prayed many times, seeming without an answer to prayer, but yet eventually God did answer him. Amen. God listened and God responded. Therefore, when we petition, ask him for our needs, he responds. He knows what our needs is. You may not hear him audibly, probably won't. Amen. But you can know he'll speak to you through his word or through in your spirit man, talk to your heart. Amen. And for spiritual things, we petition God, we ask him, like people that are losing their souls or people that are selling their souls for the empty things that a sin-cursed world has to offer. In matter of people selling their soul to the devil for nothing, we live in a world such as that when people go to every extreme whatsoever to get into the supernatural, and they use the occult, they use false religion and false things and false topics to try to get into the supernatural, and there's no winnings, no horoscopes, whatever you want to call it, amen, whatever you want to go by, but there's only one way to God, and that is through Christ. And I thank God right now we don't have to search out all that other junk. We can go to God in prayer, and through the name of Jesus and through Christ we can reach God. Hallelujah. And so we can pray, petition God for spiritual things. I think one of the great things that we need to request, we need to ask God, things we need to pray for, is God, would you help me to view people and love people the way that you love them? Amen. You look, well, that's hard, Pastor. Yeah, it's hard on some people. Some people it's hard to love. God didn't ever tell you to love everything they do and everything about them. But he told you to care for their eternal soul, regardless of how awful they may have acted. And God does view people in a powerful way. God views people not by all their qualities, not by everything they have to be wanted. But Jesus died, poured out his soul while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. And pray. Pray for God's comfort. Pray for God's consolation during sorrow, stress, when life doesn't make sense. It always makes sense to God, but it doesn't always to us. And the Apostle Paul, will use him for an illustration here. His comfort and reassurance was there. God was with him under the threat of death. He needed the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Paul needed that. He went through a lot of things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's who God is. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I think when Paul was preaching this message, he had comfort in mind. And you see, through all that Paul went through, the Comforter was never absent. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, came to him. The Holy Spirit was in him. Amen. And so the Comforter was there. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit today. For even further still, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit with initial evidence of speaking in tongues. You can have God's Spirit and you can pray in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so comfort was constantly came from the Holy Spirit within Paul. And so therefore, he could petition God, ask God, because he knew that God was listening. Let me tell you something. Whatever you go through, Jesus has been where you are. Jesus has been through greater sorrow and greater suffering than we could ever go through. He's been through greater burdens. He carried greater burdens, like the burden, the guilt of my sin and yours and of the whole world. He's been in greater spiritual warfare. Amen. He crushed the head of the serpent in his work on the cross. And he's been through more than we can ever imagine, because you see, God is greater. And Jesus endured all of this because he cares for you. He loves you. And we say, well, shouldn't he be out there creating universes and worlds and solar systems? I want to tell you something. God is concerned about humanity. He made earth for mankind. He made it where mankind could have a habitation here in this world. He made an atmosphere. He made oxygen. He made all this stuff. Amen. He didn't create global warming except where it needed to be hot. And so God is good. Praise the Lord. And He cares for you. Therefore, if God is like that, ask for His help. Petition God. Pray. Petition God. Ask for His help. Pour out your heart before God continually. It doesn't mean that you've got to get down and beg God for things, but you can pour out your soul to God. But in prayer, our heart is changed and our carnal desires are changed to spiritual desires. God changes us as we pray, as we get close to Him. Many times, you know, God can get us to the place where we have to pray, if there's any hope. Amen. He can make trials so hard that you'll cry out to Him. People may say, I don't need God, I don't need His help, I don't need to pray. That's a foolish statement to make, because there may be a time when you need God and nobody else can help except God. So petition God. Don't be afraid to ask God. R, P-R, and pray. Reality. Let's use that word. Here we see the widow here. Widows had few rights in that time and few to protect them. And they didn't have anybody. They didn't have Social Security. Amen. We have Social Security today. I'm not sure how secure it is, but it's social. And she had a need that required more than she could produce. She had no strength. She had to oppose such an adversary, and she did have an adversary. And so this widow was at a place of no hope. And that's a bad place to be. And without Christ, you and I would be at a place without any hope. But we have hope today because of Christ. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is poured out into our heart by the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. Romans 5:5. Praise the Lord. So widows had few rights, and here was a widow. She had a need that would require more than she could produce. And she was without hope in the natural sense. And reality shows she had an adversary. She was powerless to avenge herself, to take up for herself. And she couldn't help herself at all. May I remind you today, we have an adversary. And it's called the devil. And he is Lucifer. And he is one of the fallen angels of God, who got too big for his britches. And God kicked him out of heaven. When he decided he'd be like God, he'd arise. He said, I will arise. I will be like the Most High. And God said, just you'll be cut down to hell. So we know that we have an adversary too. You say, well, the devil's not very smart. Let me tell you, he's smarter than you are. He's in the spirit world. He's a spirit being. We are in the sense that we will be eternally. But we do have an adversary. You need God's help. You need God every hour of the day. Yes, we can be persistent, and we do need to be. Praise the Lord. But reality is, we do have an enemy. The devil, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's ready to pounce on, to take advantage of anybody that he can, because he hates losing territory. He doesn't want one soul to go to heaven, doesn't want you to go to heaven. He wants you to die and go to hell. That's what the devil wants. But God wants you to go to heaven. God wants you to be in His eternity. And without God, we're powerless to combat our enemy, just as this widow here was powerless to do whatever her adversary was, or to overcome her adversary. She needed a judge. But reality is this, that by prayer we can reach someone that isn't powerless, and God isn't powerless. The Jesus we serve is not powerless. He has says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Praise God, that's pretty much all of it. And God, Jesus, is not afraid of what you're going to come up against. God isn't weak, amen. He's strong, He's powerful. He does love, He does care, He does concern, is concerned about you. You can be assured that wherever you go and whatever you face in life, it's not going to get beyond the Christ that we serve and the Savior of the world. You can call upon Him, cry out to Him. He's a present help in time of need. Praise the Lord. Reality is, there is a God in heaven who cares for His children. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. We have a Savior who can reach and who can respond. Read Psalms 100. Amen. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gate with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. He says, enter. Amen. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. That means there's no end to his mercy. His truth endures to all generations. Praise God. Wonderful promises there. Let's get to A in prayer, P-R-A. Application. We want to apply the Bible to our lives. I've got a Bible that's Life Application Bible. Amen. But through prayer, you learn to apply God's word to your life. The unjust judge had no one above him. He had to deal with a widow. He realized it was better to deal with her than to let her wear him out. The word weary there is interesting in the Greek. It means to keep hitting me with blows, or lest she give me a black eye. This woman isn't going to quit until she's done me in. If you're a man, don't look at your wife. But unless I grow weary, I'm going to give her what she wants with her continual coming. Verse 5 will tell us that. If I can find it, there it is. Because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She's going to give me a black eye if I stay here and keep going like this. Man. But we can apply this parable to our lives. When we cry out to God in prayer, he doesn't wear out. God doesn't tire of hearing you call upon him. He says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Matter of fact, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That don't sound like to me that God's saying never call on me. No, he's saying ask. Amen. He even welcomes your prayer. He knows your trust in him is growing as you call upon him. Amen. Not all you can do is pray, but what you can do is pray. Praise the Lord. And as we learn dependence on God, we realize that our relationship with him grows stronger and closer. Because as we walk through valleys, through trials, amen, it's there that we're made strong. It's there that we can look back and have testimony. God brought me through this. God walked me through this. God didn't forsake me through this trial. God was with me always. Amen. I think we could say along with the Psalmist, Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For there has been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Apply God's word to your life in prayer. The point you've been waiting for, why? P-R-A-Y. I don't do very many acronym sermons, but this is one of them. And we used to use the word yes there for why. Yes, be persistent. Yes, prayer really works. Yes, apply the word of God to your life. Yes, God will answer. Amen. Let's let that credit for just a moment. When we request something, we won't always want a yes. Sometimes God says no because God can see whether something's good for you or not. Amen. Well, I asked God 3 years ago for this and he hasn't brought it yet. Well, maybe you didn't need it. God has promised to supply all of your need, not only your want. Praise the Lord. The unjust judge says, yes, I will help you to get you out of my way, off my back. I'm tired of you coming to me trying to give me a black eye, so I'm going to help you. That's not what God's like, but yet that's what the unjust judge was like. But God says in the affirmative, yes, I will help you. I will be your shepherd. I will be your protection. I will be your strength. Amen. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the children of God, and we are his servants. Praise God. Hallelujah. He will be your help when the enemy surrounds you. Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard, a banner against him. Praise the Lord. That's telling you God will help you when your adversary opposes you. when it seems like all hell is against you and the devil is against you and he is against you, you can understand one thing. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That standard is a cross. Jesus conquered the death at the cross. Amen. He conquered everything. He conquered every sin you ever sinned. Amen. He conquered all of the penalty for sin. He took the judgment for our sins in our place. Amen. He took upon himself all of our sins and sorrows and made them his very own. He bore his burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. I want to tell you this, Jesus we serve, he is our help. He will not turn us away. He won't be like the unjust judge says, you know, I really don't want to deal with you. God does want to deal with you. God cares about you. The question is asked here, in closing here, amen. He asked the question with, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find people that are faithful? He asked his disciples to be faithful in prayer. He encouraged them to keep on praying. And let God ask us this question. Will the Son of Man really find a praying people, a praying church, a faithful church? I hope we can say yes. If he comes today, will he find a praying church that's concerned about what he's concerned about? That's the souls of every person. Amen. I will tell your friend, don't give up, don't lose heart, don't quit. Press on in prayer to God who hears and responds to our prayers. Praise God. Amen.